I wasn't expecting that one. Thank you, J-Rod. My name's Derek Rebbies. I am an alcoholic. And I had a sobriety date of October 31st of 2003. I have a home group, which I attend every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. It's a 12th step and 12th edition meeting. I also have a sponsor who knows he's my sponsor. I call him every week. I tell him everything. And what else? I do sponsor guys in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm supposed to share with you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. First of all, I'd like to thank God for his intervention in all my affairs. Since there's a lot of new people here, I thought about more about alcoholism than talking about myself, because all I think about when I first came in is me. And now I focus on newcomers, because the newcomer is the most important person in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And welcome, and hopefully you get a sponsor that's willing to sit down with you and go through this book called Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a way of living, and I'm pretty much 100% proof of that. I live and breathe by the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, not by my doing or people, what I hear people say in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. first of all, I also wanted to mention that I hung around a lot of the old timers who told me to get a sponsor and have that sponsor take you through the big book and take you through the steps. And, you know, they were right. They were right. And I have a little funny story, which I would tell at the end of the meeting, only because, you know, I take this program real serious. I'm going to read from page 30 out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Page 30 is more about alcoholism. And I'm only going to read half of it. Most of us have been unwilling to admit that we were a real alcoholic. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellow. Therefore, it's not surprising that our drinking career has been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he would control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursued into the gates of insanity or death. We learned that we had to prove to our innermost self that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people or present maybe has to be smashed. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were gaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were enveloped, followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grips of a progressive illness. Over considerable period, we get worse, never better. And I'm gonna stop there. You know, step one for me is when I came in. First of all, I live in Minnesota, for right now. When I first came in, I remember moving from Texas to here. So I did a lot of geographical moves here. And I remember when I moved here, they told me to get a case manager. And I didn't know what that meant or what AA was about or anything for that matter. So I went to this case manager on that day, and it was October 29th of 2003. And I said to her, I said, I need help. And she was like, okay. I said that I'm an alcoholic and I need help. So she referred me down to what used to be House of Charity, which is ran by Catholic Charity. Oh, it's no longer there, unfortunately. And then I remember this little lady coming out. Her name was Barbara Upton. And she asked me, she said, what can I do for you? And I said, I need help. I need to get off of this alcohol. So she referred me to a treatment center. And I sat there and I kept quiet. What she told me was that once I completed that program, that she would save a bed for me. And she did. She kept her word. And guys were going to, there was a bunch of guys who I hung around with that was going to meetings. And I remember one meeting that we attended, I'm trying to think of the name of it, it's been so long. It's been like California meeting. Nevertheless, and I remember there was a line of people lined up on by the door, and they just put their hands out, and I'm like, oh, no way, you ain't taking my hand. Like they had some kind of disease or something. So the next day is how I found my first home group, which was called Friday Night Hope Group. And I got a sponsor there. I hung around the old times because, you know, the old times told me that they never steered me right or steered me wrong. And they were right. The old times never steered me wrong. They told me to get a sponsor. They told me to get a big book. They told me to get a 12x12 and they told me to practice the principles in all my affairs. And I continue to do that. I continue to practice these principles in all my affairs. In fact, I don't even practice these. I do them, because if I don't do them, I know where I will end up. I don't know how much more time I got, nevertheless, I'm gonna go through the steps with you, the way that my sponsor taught me. Step one, I admitted while I was powerless over alcohol. As you remember, I was talking about going to my first case manager. And the reason why I have a case manager is because I have what they call autism. So I'm high-functioning autism. But nevertheless, I explained step one. Now, step two for me, I came to believe that the power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. I didn't believe in God. I thought God was a myth. And I thought God was just somebody that was up in a man with long hair and a beard and all that other stuff. So I didn't believe him. I don't know whether that's I can call myself an atheist or agnostic. But I do know today I do believe in a power greater than myself. And it's not me. Wow, what, imagine that. So that was step two for me. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to care of God as we understood him. I remember my sponsor telling me that why don't you choose your own conception of God? And it's out of the big book. And that helped me to overcome the word God. I also heard in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous by the old timers that if the word God chases you out of the room, the bottle will surely bring you back. So that was step three. So I had to make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Because again, if I didn't, I know where I would be, and it's not here. In Alcoholics Anonymous. Step four, made a certain and fearless small inventory of myself. You know, I did the four step out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous per my sponsor at the time. And I would like to say that I'm really grateful for my first sponsor because he really hammered me to go through this book of Alcoholics Anonymous and read it through and through, no skipping the pages though, picking and choosing what I wanted to read. So getting back to step four, he had me write down, I'm resentful at the cause affect my, and then he had me put another line through and said, what was my part in a lot of things. And man, that hit me hard. It hit me so hard that I didn't even want to finish it. So that was step four for me. Step five, remember to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. I figured that God already knew what was going on with me. Why should I tell somebody else? So I made every excuse in the book to not do my fifth step. If you look up the word procrastinator in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of me in there because heaven knows I know that I did not want to do my fifth step. Such as we entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You know, I started believing. It took me a long time to believe in the power greater than myself. It didn't happen overnight. I started going to church, and I found the power greater than me. And I remember my sponsor because I'm a smoker. I remember my sponsor telling me to take my cigarette and throw it underneath my bed. And once I hit my knees to find the cigarette, start praying. I also remember somebody telling me if a man or a woman without prayer is like a tree without water, timber. So that really hit me. It perked my ears up. Step seven, humbly asking to remove our shortcomings. You know, the big book, we read that the grouch in the brainstorm is not for us. And sure not for me. my best thinking got me here. So I try not to step on the toes of others today. That the 8 minute little ball pushed me at home and became willing to make amends to them all. I'm taking my inventory and I'm going back and I'm cleaning my side of the street out. Off. And to clean my side of the street is to go and tell others that what can I do to make this right? You know, because I don't know about anybody else in this room, but people got tired of hearing me say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. So I had my sponsor told me to say, what can I do to make it right? And then, you know, also, he also told me that there are probably going to be people that would say, great, there's you in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm grateful for you, but I don't want to talk to you again. And there were other people that, you know, say, hey, you know, we appreciate that, and that was all they said. Step 9, Step 10, continue to take the personal inventory, and when we were wrong, properly admitted it. You know, I try not to step on the toes of others because they retaliate. And to retaliate against me is like, let's just say old behavior starts to pop up. And or character defects. Step 11, self through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I love all the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a prayer that I say every morning when I get up and go to the shower. I say, God, I'm washing my outside. Please wash my inside. I haven't changed that prayer ever since I got sober in 2003. I love that prayer. And yes, you can use it. Having had a spiritual awakening, after the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the alcoholics and the practice these principles and all out there. You know, like I said, I don't practice these principles. I do the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not my program, because I found out when I first came in to step foot into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, my program sucked. It is plain and simple. My program sucked. So I had to do the program of Alcoholics Anonymous because I know where I would end up. One more thing I'd like to point out, and then I'll end with this. The alcoholic is like a tornado warring his way through the lives of others. Oh, this is page 82. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead. Affection have been upward. 10?
2 minutes, my
okay.
Friend. Yes.
I'm sorry. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead. Affection have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderable habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says the body is enough. He's like the farmer who came out to Cyclone Solar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the winds are blowing? That was me. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but that was me. I caused havoc everywhere I went. I am that tornado. I will go through your life and I will destroy your well-being. I will destroy your mental being. I will destroy everything that comes about. So yeah, that's my story, and I'm looking to it. And I want to thank Gerard again, J-Rod, for allowing me to speak. Thank you. I have 40 minutes, 35.